الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected mothers and sisters and dear daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His kindness, through His grace, through His mercy, grants us opportunities after opportunities to connect ourselves to Him. One such opportunity is this annual gathering of sisters at the Islamic Dawah Academy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value this opportunity and value all the other opportunities that are afforded to us by our merciful Creator. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this today's opportunity a means of repenting sincerely from our past and connecting ourselves firmly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever and ever. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the beloved daughter of Siddiq Akbar, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the beloved mother of the mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha, one of the greatest women that the world has seen. Very intelligent, very knowledgeable, very noble, very generous, and very pious. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when she was only 18 years old. And thereafter she lived during the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, during the caliphate of Umar radiyallahu anhu, during the caliphate of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, during the caliphate of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and lived a very, very respectable life full of piety. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in used to refer to her in many matters related to Sharia. She is in her final moments. And a few remaining companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are coming to visit her because she is sick, she is ill, she is in a lot of pain and agony, she is in her final moments. And they are aware that any moment Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha can depart from this world. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to the house of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he asks for permission to come inside. The injunctions of hijab were adhered to. The freed slave of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Zakwan, he asks Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha whether to permit Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma or not. So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, no, don't let him come. Don't let him come because I know what he will do. He will come and he will praise me. And I am not worthy of anybody's praise. I am not worthy of anybody's praise, so why should anyone praise me? And there is a possibility that if somebody praised me, my nafs would get the better of me, and I may become the victim of pride, arrogance, self-conceit whilst I am dying, which will be very, very detrimental for me. So please don't let him come. I know Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He reveres me, he respects me, he entertains good thoughts about me, so he will come and he will praise me. Upon this, the cousin of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the son of her brother, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said that, O aunt, how can we say no to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Ibn Ammi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa min wujuhil muslimin. And a very, very influential person amongst the Muslim community. A very, very respectable person from amongst the Muslim community. Well educated, great in knowledge, great in piety. He should be given the permission, he should be given the leave to come and visit you. So she agreed. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma entered the room where Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was lying down, and from behind the veil he said, O Ummul Mu'mineen, O the mother of the believers, kaifa tajidinaki? How do you find yourself? How are you? How are you feeling? So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, bi khairin inittaqaytullah. Look at how many lessons we are learning from just this one incident. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was that lady who had purified her soul, whose soul was purified. She had purified her soul, her heart, from all the evil traits: pride, arrogance, miserliness, hatred, love for world, love for wealth, love for fame. And she had adorned her soul and her heart with good traits: generosity, humbleness, sabr, patience, shukr, gratitude, love for the akhirah, love for ilm. It is for this reason when Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma asked for permission to come and see her, she said, no, don't let him come. I am in my last moments, I am in my final moments, and I know what Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma is going to do. He is going to come inside and he is going to praise me. And this is not the time when I should expose myself to any danger. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They understood religion. They understood the reality of life. They understood the purpose of life. Their system was deen, religion, akhirat, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, success in the hereafter. But when she was told that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he is a respectable person from amongst the Muslim community, and it would be better if he is given permission. It would be better for you also, a pious personality, he enters your home when you are departing from this world. So she said, okay. When the question is asked, kaifa tajidinaki? How do you find yourself? How are you? She does not say, Alhamdulillah, I am well. No, she says, bi khairin. I am with khair. I am with goodness if, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving so many glad tidings direct in the Quran and through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, she is still unsure about the hereafter. What will happen to me in the hereafter? Why? Because of the humbleness that had overpowered the pride. They were unable to see the good sides in their lives. It's like a student who desires to come first in his class. He wishes to score the highest marks. Despite writing a very good paper, he will always have this fear. His target is not only to pass, his target is to pass with the highest marks in the class. He will have this fear until the result is not out. You will see him in anxiety. He will always have this fear that I may lose a mark here, a mark here, I may have made a silly mistake. Their target was very high as far as the hereafter was concerned. They were always humble, humble, humble. What will happen to me in the hereafter? What if I have made a silly mistake which will outweigh all my good deeds? What will happen to me in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he is in his final moments, and a person came to visit him in the morning. He said, Kaifa asbahta? How have you entered the morning? How are you this morning? So he said, Asbahtu min ad-dunya rahila, wa li ikhwani mufariqa, wa li ka'sil maniyati shariba. La adri, روحي تسير إلى الجنة فأعزيها فأهنئها. لا أدري روحي تسير إلى الجنة فأهنئها أو إلى النار فأعزيها. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, the great Imam. Imam in both ilm and amal. They were not Imams in ilm only. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was Imam in ilm and amal. Because we only discuss their academic aspects, the thought process is that Imam Shafi was a great scholar, Imam Malik was a great scholar, Imam Bukhari was a great scholar. No, they were not only great scholars, they were awliya too. We don't study the practical aspects of their lives. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, great scholar. Imam in ilm and imam in amal, both. But despite that, he realizes that this is his last and final day. So he says that I have entered the morning. That means I have woke up in the morning whilst I am leaving this world. Asbatu min ad-dunya rahila. Wali ikhwani mufariqa, and whilst I am bidding farewell to my friends. وَلِكَأْسِ الْمَنِيَّةِ شَارِبًا, and whilst I will drink the glass of death. That means death will overtake me today. But whilst I am departing from this world and bidding my friends farewell, and whilst death is about to overtake me, I do not know whether to console my soul or whether to congratulate my soul. I don't know. I don't know whether to console my soul or whether to congratulate my soul. If my soul is going into Jannah, I should congratulate it. And if my soul is going to Jahannam, I should console it. I should do taziyah. But I don't know whether it is going in Jannah or whether it is going in Jahannam. Despite doing so much, they had the fear of the hereafter. And it is for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Indeed, those people who fear their Rabb, who fear the displeasure of their Rabb, for them is maghfirah, for them is forgiveness for definite. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, and for them is respectable provision in the hereafter. So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala did not say, I am well. She said, بِخَيْرٍ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُ اللَّهَ. I am well. I am with goodness. I am with khair in this world and in the hereafter if I have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُ اللَّهَ. If taqwa does not exist, then I am not with khair. So despite all the pain and agony that I am in at this moment, if I have taqwa, then I am with khair, alhamdulillah. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, you are with khair. You are with khair. Bi khairin init taqaytullah. Taqwa is the element of success in this world and also in the hereafter, my sisters. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will from today exert every effort in trying to establish taqwa in our lives. And what is taqwa? Very simple. Taqwa is to fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become displeased? When we disobey Him. So taqwa is to fear the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is to stay away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe. Fear Allah. That means fear the displeasure of Allah. Fear the disobedience to Allah. Stay away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fear something, you stay away from it. So stay away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be that disobedience major or minor. Be that disobedience kabira or sagira. A mu'min, the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not differentiate between minor disobedience and major disobedience. Disobedience is disobedience. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, "Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun." Everything from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to refrain from, it is kabira. It is major. Disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is major. Hakimul Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to say, that have you ever come across an intelligent person who differentiates between a large scorpion and a small scorpion? Who says that this is a large scorpion, so I need to stay away from it, and this is a small scorpion, so it doesn't really matter? No. Large scorpion is poisonous and small scorpion is poisonous. Similarly, major sin is poisonous and minor sin is poisonous. Poisonous for our iman, poisonous for our spirituality, poisonous for our akhirah, poisonous for jannah. خَلِّ الذُّنُوب صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى. Leave all the sins. خَلِّ الذُّنُوب, leave sins. صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا, minor and major. Leave sins, minor and major. ذَاكَ التُّقَى, that is taqwa. Leave the sins, minor and major. ذَاكَ التُّقَى, that is taqwa. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِسَى. Do not look down upon a minor sin. Because a mountain is made of small pebbles. So you commit a minor sin today, you commit another minor sin tomorrow, you commit another minor sin the day after. Minor sins will lead you to major. And major sins one day will lead you to kufr. Minor sins leads a person to major sins, and major sins leads a person to kufr. Just as adab leads a person to mustahabbat, mustahabbat leads a person to sunan, and sunan leads a person to wajibat, and wajibat leads a person to faraid. And discarding the adab leads a person to discard mustahabbat, and discarding mustahabbat leads a person to discard sunan, and discarding sunan leads a person to discard wajibat, and discarding wajibat leads a person to discard the faraid. A person who is very, very careful in regard to makruhat tanzihiya, he will not be able to commit makruhat tahrimi. And if he is unable to carry out makruhat tahrimi, how is it possible for him to carry out haram? So makruhat tanzihiya is the buffer zone between we and makruhat tahrimiya. Don't put your foot in makruhat tanzihiya. If you stay away from makruhat tanzihiya, you will never be able to commit makruhat tahrimiya.
And if you are careful and particular in regard to carrying out nawafil, mustahabbat, sunan, how is it possible for you to omit wajibat and faraid? So objective in life should be not to do anything that will displease the Creator. Shaitan deceives us. Objective in life is to worship Allah. And alhamdulillah, I am worshipping Allah. I am performing 5 times Salat. I am performing Hajj. I am performing Umrah. I am giving Zakah. But whilst all this is taking place, on the other hand, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also taking place. So Shaitan is very happy. Because all the good that we are doing is going down the drain. A bucket full of water with only a few drops of urine goes down the drain. So all the good that we are doing with those a few drops of sinful activities will go down the drain. On the day of Qiyamah we will not acquire anything in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِخَيْرٍ. This small sentence of Aisha radiallahu anha is a message for the whole ummah to come until the day of Qiyamah, that success lies in taqwa. If I am with taqwa, then khair is with me. If I am with taqwa, then khair is with me. And if I am devoid of taqwa, then khair is not with me. Neither in this world nor in the hereafter. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. One who fears the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstains from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit to escape for that person from any problem in this world and also in the hereafter. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person provision. And provision here is very general. Provision. That means whatever he requires, whatever she requires. Food, Allah will grant. Ilm, Allah will grant. Intellect, intelligence, Allah will grant. Whatever a person requires, whenever, Allah will grant it. From where? Min haythu la yahtasib. From those avenues which a person has never even thought of. Safety lies in taqwa. One day, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, a very oppressive governor during the caliphate of the Umayyad destiny, Umayyad dynasty, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he became unhappy with Hassan Bisri rahimahullah ta'ala. Hassan Bisri rahimahullah ta'ala, a very pious personality and a very great scholar, alhamdulillah. He was fortunate to play in the lap of Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And his mother was a maid servant working for Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So when he was in his infancy, whenever his mother used to go out to do some work and he used to cry, then Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha used to pick him up in her arms and she used to suckle him. And it was her karamat that milk used to flow from her chest. And Hassan Bisri rahimahullah ta'ala is one of those prominent personalities of the Islamic world who was given great wisdom in his talk. The ulama said that this was the barakah of the milk of Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And as I said, he was not only imam in ilm, he was imam in amal also. Great sheikh, a very pious personality. During his time, there was another very pious personality, Sheikh Habib Al-Ajami, rahimahullah ta'ala. well known for his piety. So when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf became unhappy with Hasan ibn Sri rahmatullahi alayhi, he went looking for Hasan ibn Sri rahmatullahi alayhi, and Hasan ibn Sri rahmatullahi alayhi escaped from him, and he took refuge in the house of Habib al-Ajami, thinking that Hajjaj will not follow him there, because Habib al-Ajami was a very, very respectable personality. But Hajjaj followed him, asking people, where is Hasan al-Basri? There are always spies around. So somebody informed him that he has gone to Habib al-Ajami's home. So Habib al-Ajami was sitting outside his home when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf arrived with his men. He said, where is Hasan al-Basri? So he said, he is inside. Habib al-Ajami said, he is inside. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf went inside and he searched for Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. He could not find Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, so he came out of the home. And he said to Habib al-Ajami rahimahullahu ta'ala, that you are so pious and you are lying. Hasan al-Basri is not inside. So he said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, Hasan al-Basri is inside. So he went inside again. And he searched for Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, but he could not find him. So he came out again and he said, you are lying, how can you lie? Hasan al-Basri is not inside. He said, I swear by Allah, I am not lying, he is inside. Hasan al-Basri is inside. He went inside again, but he could not find him. So Hajjaj left. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi emerged from the home of Habib al-Ajami rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he said, Hadrat, through your barakah Allah has saved me today. He said, this was your miracle. Look at the respect that they show each other. He said, Hadrat, through your barakah Allah has saved me today. It was your barakah, your piety, that a miracle came into existence. The precious lesson is the words of Habib al-Ajami rahimahullah ta'ala. Hazrat, through your barakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved me. Habib al-Ajami said, no, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah has saved you through the barakah of taqwa. Because I did not lie. Lying is haram in Islam. So Allah did not save you through my barakah, Allah has saved you through the barakah of the truth. Through the barakah of taqwa, that I did not lie. If I had lied and if I had said Hasan al-Basri is not here, he would have found you. He would have found you because the barakah would have left us. Barakah of taqwa. He would have found you and I and you, both of us would have become disgraced in this world and also in the hereafter. We all have problems. In this world, nobody is without problem. Everybody has problem. Everybody has problem. All the sisters who are sitting in the masjid right at this moment, and all those who are listening at home, all the brothers who are sitting in front of me here, including myself, we all have problems. In this world, there is always something bothering us. Sometimes children, sometimes wife, sometimes husband, sometimes wealth, sometimes home, sometimes car, sometimes job, sometimes progress. Because this world is not Jannah. And it is human nature to continually desire for more and more and more and more. So we never become content. We always feel that I have a problem. I need this and I can't get it. It is only in Jannah we will be able to fulfill all our desires. No person, not even a Nabi, is able to fulfill his desire in this world. So why should we make the fulfillment of our desires the objective in this world? In this world, we should remain content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us that can fulfill our needs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for his progeny. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Oh Allah, give my progeny, ali Muhammad, the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sustenance that is sufficient for them. Sufficient. And make dua to Allah. Allahumma qannini bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, make me content with whatever you have granted to me. Don't look at Ibrahim, don't look at Ahmad, don't look at Muhammad. What has Allah given them and what has Allah given me? No. Don't look at Aisha, don't look at Zulaikha. No, what? They've got a very big house and I have a very small house. No, don't look at them. Whatever Allah has given you, isn't that sufficient for you? And for how long are we going to live in this world? And is there anyone who has come onto this world, into this world, who was more greater than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Compare your house with his house. Compare your home with his home. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand in tahajjud, and I would be sleeping. Sometimes I also used to perform tahajjud with him. Sometimes he would perform tahajjud from Isha till Fajr. I used to go to sleep. And he would wake me up just before Fajr so I could join him. So when he used to perform tahajjud throughout the night, then when going into sajda, when his knees would touch the ground, he would touch me with his hand. He would pat me with his hand. And patting was an indication that I want to perform sajda. Can you pull your legs towards you? He would stand to perform salat towards my legs. He would pat me. That can you pull your legs because I want to place my forehead on the ground. Why? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand there? Where he had to inconvenience his wife who was sleeping. Because that was the only place where he could stand. That was the only place where he could stand. This was the home of the greatest human, not the greatest human, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this worldly pleasure, worldly luxury was important in the eyes of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have definitely granted to his beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't look at the people around you. Go back 1400 years and think about the best generation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. What was their life like? What was the life of Aisha like? What was the life of Khadija like? What was the life of Fatima like? So my sisters, go with this firm resolution that from today, taqwa, abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become our goal. And in order to make this the goal of our lives, we have to acquire ilm also. Because without ilm, we will not know what is lawful, what is unlawful. And if we don't know what is unlawful, how can we abstain from it? So the company of the ulama, taking admission in good madaris, good educational centers is essential for male, female, both. Learn what Allah requires from us and thereafter follow accordingly, implement it. So we need ulama, we need the centers of ilm, the madaris from where we are able to learn what Allah wants from us, what Allah dislikes from us. And thereafter we practice. And we need the mashayikh. We need to connect ourselves to mashayikh. Because sometimes we know what we need to do. We know what we cannot do. But despite that we cannot refrain from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. So then we turn to our mashayikh and seek guidance from them. That how can I nurture my nafs? How can I nurture my base desire? How can I nurture myself? How can I do my tarbiyah of my soul? How can I purify my soul so that I am able to abstain from this disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And my dear sisters, mothers, daughters, if we make a firm resolution that we want to make akhirah our goal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive us from the comforts of this world also. We have to differentiate between two things. One is comfort and the other is resources of comfort. One is comfort, resources of comfort. A nice bed which is worth £500, £600, £700 is a resource of comfort. It's not necessary that it will give you comfort. A person may sleep on a bed which costs £100, £200, £500, £700 in an air-conditioned room of a very high mansion, very expensive home. But he cannot sleep at night. There is no comfort. So the resources of comfort are there, but comfort is not there. And another person may be sleeping on the footpath. He is homeless. And as soon as he lies down and covers himself with a sheet, he goes into a deep sleep and he cannot wake up until morning. He does not have resources of comfort, but Allah is granting him comfort. What are we trying to do, all of us? We are running behind resources of comfort, not the comfort itself. Comfort comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us comfort in this world at the time of death, in the grave, on the day of Qiyamah, on the Pul Sirat, and forever and ever in Jannat al-Firdaus, inshallah. Allah will definitely grant us comfort. Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. A person cannot acquire comfort. A person cannot acquire peace of mind. A person cannot acquire tranquility of the heart from wealth, from money, from big nice homes. No, na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. A person can only acquire the inner contentment through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, masnoon prayers, salat, Quran. And this is the zikr of the tongue, zikr of the body, and with that, by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every juncture and doing that which pleases Him and abstaining from that which displeases Him. This is the real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not deprive those who dedicate themselves to Him. Allah will not deprive those people who are loyal to Him. They may not have the resources of comfort, but Allah will definitely grant them comfort. And in many cases, Allah will grant them comfort and also the resources of comfort. And if they give sacrifice, little bit of sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may feel that because I'm giving this sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am losing the pleasure that I could have acquired if I had disobeyed Him. If you let go of that comfort just for a while, if you let go of that pleasure just for a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a better pleasure in the future. Sometimes in the hereafter, sometimes in this very world. A very pious personality, Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Abdul Baqi al-Ansari, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He had migrated and he had settled down in Makkah Mukarramah. Makkah Mukarramah was not his hometown. He migrated from his place of residence and he was trying to settle down in Makkah Mukarramah. He wanted to stay in Makkah Mukarramah forever. And in those days, and even in this day and age, when people try to settle down in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, whenever they get the opportunity, it sometimes becomes very difficult. Very difficult. Because you struggle financially. Rizq is a big problem. So he says that a time came upon me when I was struggling even to find a morsel. And in that state of hunger and anxiety, I left my home because I was not finding comfort at home. I left my home, and whilst walking in the streets of Makkah Mukarrama, I found a bag. A bag made of silk. And the mouth of the bag was tied with string made of silk also. Very, very precious. And so I picked it up. I picked it up and quietly placed it in my pocket. The intention was not evil, alhamdulillah. The intention was to return it to the lawful owner. He said, I came home, and when I opened that bag, to my surprise, there was a very, very precious and expensive necklace made of very, very precious and expensive pearls. So he said, I returned the necklace into the bag again. I tied the bag and I put it in a safe place. And he said, again, because I was very hungry, I left the home to walk in the streets of Makkah Mukarrama, to somehow forget the hunger, to find peace, sukoon. Now this is what taqwa demands. Taqwa, on one side is hunger, on the other side is precious pearls, necklace made of precious pearls. But no, I cannot touch, it doesn't belong to me. And he said, I heard somebody making an announcement saying that I have lost a bag made of silk. And in there is a precious item. Whoever will return it to me, I will give him 500 dinar. As a gift, as a bounty. And it is perfectly permissible to take it. 500 dinar. 500 gold coins. A fortune in those days. Muhammad ibn Abdul Baqi rahimahullah ta'ala says, I went up to him and he said that, come with me. I think I know where your lost item is. He said, I took him home. And after taking him home, I said to him, can you give me some signs? So he gave me all the signs. And I knew that this belonged to him. So he said, I took it out from the safe place and I handed the necklace over to him. So he tried to hand over 500 dinar to me. Now these 500 dinar were perfectly okay. And he could have assumed, because he was a man of knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this provision for me due to my sabr, and due to my truthfulness, and due to my taqwa. But because people with very high values, he said that even if you did not offer me this bounty, Islamically it was incumbent upon me to return this to you. So I'm sorry, I cannot accept your gift. Despite being in need, despite being in hunger, he said, no, I cannot take this from you. He insisted, he continued to resist. No, I can't take it. And he didn't take it. So he lost the pleasure of the precious necklace made of precious pearls. A very great wealth. He also lost the pleasure of 500 dinar. And he also lost the pleasure of filling his stomach with good food. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always rewards. بِخَيْرٍ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُ اللَّهِ Aisha radiallahu anha said that if I have taqwa, then there is nothing but khair. Shirk cannot come near that person who has taqwa. He said, after a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a time came when I set out on a journey. And the sea storm wrecked my ship. Wrecked the ship I was traveling in. And he said, it was my fortune that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me on a plank, which was part of the boat, the ship that was wrecked. And for many, many days, I found myself alone in the sea. And the plank continued to float, float, float until I found myself on land. And I said, to my surprise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me reach a locality of Muslims. So he said, I looked for the masjid and I went into the masjid. And after reaching the masjid, I started reciting the Quran. When some brothers came into the masjid and they saw I was reciting the Quran, they started talking amongst themselves that there is somebody here who is reciting the Quran. And they were all illiterate. They were looking for somebody who could teach them how to read and write. So they became overjoyed that somebody has come into our locality who can read the Quran. So they met him, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, can you please teach us how to read the Quran? So he said, I began teaching them the adiyah and the surahs and the Quran. But from memory, not reading from writing. He says that they started helping me financially because I had narrated the incident to them that I am a homeless person. He said, one day somebody saw me reading some books or the Quran reading. So they said that, oh, he does not only knows the Quran by heart, he can read also. So they insisted that I should teach them and their children how to read and write. So he said, Alhamdulillah, the ilmi occupation engaged me and I began teaching them. And he said, they were giving me money and helping me. And I became very wealthy. Now Allah is rewarding him. I became very wealthy. And weeks, months passed, and then they said that you are a young man, you need to get married now. And there is a yatima here who does not have any kith, kin. And she is very wealthy as well. And very beautiful as well. And we will not be able to find a better husband than you. And we will not be able to find a better wife for you than her. And it is our desire that you become our son-in-law and stay here forever now. So he said, no, I have left Makkah Mukarrama. I was on a voyage and I couldn't reach my destination. I still have intention to return to Makkah Mukarrama. But they insisted so much that he said, I accept it. But okay, I will get married. He said, I was married. After getting married, the very first time when I saw my wife, he said, I was wonderstruck. Because in her neck was the same necklace. In her neck was the same necklace that I had handed over to that person in Makkah Mukarrama. So he said, I was busy looking at the necklace only and nothing else. Now first meeting with the wife, and instead of looking at the wife, he's looking at the necklace. The complaint reached the elders of the family, and the elders of the family sat down with him and they said, you are such a great alim, you are such a pious personality, and you have broken the heart of this orphan girl. You are more interested in the wealth than your wife. So he said, no, there is an incident behind it. There is a story related to this necklace, and he related the whole incident. When he related the whole incident, the whole gathering of men, the elders of the family, they very loudly said, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. What is the matter? So they said that this yatim orphan is the daughter of that very person. And this is that very necklace that you had handed over to her father. And they said that when he returned from Makkah Mukarrama, he would say that throughout my life, I have only seen one Muslim. Throughout my life, I have only observed one Muslim. That youth, that trustworthy youth who handed over to me the necklace. And he used to say that I was unfortunate that I was unable to take his address or his whereabouts. If I had known where he was, I would have married my daughter to him. I would have given my daughter in his marriage. Now, he was very pious. and he was a muttaqi. And when a person has taqwa, then there is nothing but khair. So after his demise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his desire. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his desire? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this young man to where that daughter was? He said, after some time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me 2 sons from this wife of mine, and it was predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so she passed away. When she passed away, all the inheritance came to me and my 2 sons. And he said that after a while, both sons passed away. So I became the sole owner of everything, including the necklace. And in return of that necklace in Makkah Mukarrama, I was being offered 500 dinar. He said, when I sold that necklace, after it came into my possession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me 100,000 dinar. بِخَيْرٍ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُ اللَّهِ. If I have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I am with khair. If I have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am with khair. So Aisha radiallahu anha was asked that how are you? She said, if I have taqwa, then I am with khair. Now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu knew that she does have taqwa. So he said, أَنْتِ بِخَيْر. You are with khair because you have taqwa. You are with khair because you have taqwa. So before I go further with this hadith, I would urge all my brothers, all my sisters, all my mothers, let us make this firm resolution that inshallah, from today, taqwa will be our objective. Taqwa will be our goal. We do not want to do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever anything does take place that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us say sorry to Allah. Let us repent. Let us ask for His forgiveness. Even if we have to follow this cycle 100,000 times, 1,000,000 times, taqwa, if you make a mistake, tawbah. Taqwa, if you make a mistake, tawbah. Taqwa, if you make a mistake, tawbah. We will do. We will carry on until we breathe our last. The more tawbah we make, the more taqwa will come in our lives. The more tawbah we make, the more taqwa will come in our lives. And slowly, slowly we will find that tawbah is becoming less and taqwa is increasing, until a time will come when our life will be full of taqwa. And once we have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve all our problems of this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all our needs. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. Allah will forgive our sins. يُعَظِّمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Allah will increase our rewards. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease in our affairs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in any dire circumstance, would always advise the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain that adopt taqwa. Assess your life. And wherever you see yourself disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent and make your life better. Allah will open ways for you. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Anti bi khair, you are with khair. Nothing will happen to you. You are with khair. You have goodness because you have taqwa. And then he further said that you are the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He began praising her now, mentioning her virtues. He said, you are the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the only unmarried woman whom he had married. And you are that woman who was declared innocent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you were accused by people. الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون. Allah said that you are bari, you are innocent, you are pure. And Allah said, لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from the heavens. When Maryam alayhi salatu was salam was accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Isa alayhi salatu wasalam speak from the cradle and declare her innocence. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again made another baby in the cradle to speak and declare his innocence. When Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself from the heavens declared the innocence of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha herself says that I knew that I was innocent, and I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would declare my innocence, but I did not think so high of me. A humble person like me, I thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream that Aisha is innocent. I did not know that Allah would reveal verses from the Quran in regard to my innocence that will continually be recited until the day of Qiyamah. وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ Pure women are for pure men, and pure men are for pure women. So, Shatawullah Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that if a person wishes to understand the status of Aisha or status of any of the Ummahatul Mumineen, he should look at the status of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said that very soon, O Ummul Mu'mineen, for them, death was like traveling from Leicester to Makkah Mukarramah. Very soon, you'll be flying out, and in 8 hours, you'll be in Makkah Mukarramah. It's like leaving a very, very poor village in Africa or in India or in Pakistan or Bangladesh or third world country and coming to settle down in UK with a very nice job. Oh, only a few more days left, then you'll be in England. That's how they used to talk when it used to Akhirah. You know, very soon, as soon as your ruh departs, you will be meeting the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nowadays, when we go to meet somebody who is dying, we have to say, inshallah, everything will be okay. You will live for a long time, inshallah. We can't talk about death. Because our declaring that he is going to die is a death in itself for him. Very soon, it's only a matter of your ruh departing and you will be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Ahbab, with the beloved ones, the Ummahatul Mumineen, and the Sahabiyat, and the Sahaba, your father Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Bilal radiyallahu anhu was in his last and final moments, and he said, Wa tarabah, I am so excited. I am so lucky, I am so happy. Why? You are dying and you are excited. He said, yes. Ghadan narkal ahibba. Soon I will be meeting the ahbab, the beloved ones. Who? Muhammadan wa hizbahu. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his party. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. When a person purifies his heart, then this whole world is like a prison for him. When can I leave the prison? A prisoner, you give him all the comforts of the world. If you tell him that tomorrow you are going out, he will feel so happy. Thereafter, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and yes, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, that why are you worried? You are from amongst those people whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam loved the most. A sahabi radiyallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahabbu an-nasi ilayk? Who is the most beloved to you? Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu. Who is the most beloved to you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. Aisha is the most beloved to me. So he said, Minar Rijal. I am talking about the men, not the women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abuha. Her father Abu Bakr is the most beloved to me. You are from amongst those who are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never loved anything that was not tayyib and pure. So you have to be pure. And if you are pure, why are you worried about the hereafter? You are definitely with khair. And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu left. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was leaving, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was entering, another nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha. Again a great sahabi, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was her sister Asma's son. Very, very beloved to Aisha radiallahu anha. When he entered, she began complaining to Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. And she said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was here a few moments ago and he started praising me. وَلَوَدِتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًّا. I wish I was a personality or I was an individual. I wish I was an individual who was completely forgotten by people. I wish I was not remembered by anybody, that Aisha is this and Aisha is like this and Aisha is so and so on. Look at the tawazu and the humbleness, my sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this small incident from the life of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha a light for all of us to follow, for the brothers and for the sisters. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, the Sahabiyat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they were the fruits of the tree of Nubuwa. They had learned Islam directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They had benefited directly from the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their hearts were enlightened by the faith and by the spiritual unique wealth that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed. And every incident in their lives is a beacon light for us. So let us go from here with resolutions that inshallah this will be a turning point in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this conference, accept our gathering, accept all the sisters who have attended this gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all who have assisted, who have contributed in making this conference successful and who have contributed in bringing the Islamic Dawah Academy to where it is today. We always say Islamic Dawah Academy is yours, contribute to it and benefit from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all, gather us all together under His throne on the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance, include us amongst His awliya and unite us in Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to all those people who are sick. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiyat to all those people who are in any type of anxiety. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant maghfira to all the deceased. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك.
اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving one, have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. Forgive our sins. Forgive our sins. Forgive our minor sins. Forgive our major sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our families, children. Forgive the sins of our relatives. Forgive the sins of our associates. Forgive the sins of the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to abstain from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to do those things which pleases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from every disobedience. Save us from every disobedience. Save us from every disobedience. O Arhamur Rahimeen, keep us steadfast on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the deceit of shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with your marifat recognition. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our lives with the sunnah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the good traits. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save our hearts from evil traits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us with Iman. When you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us whilst we are in sujood, whilst we are in ruku, whilst we are in qiyam, whilst we are in your path, whilst we are studying deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us whilst you are happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us whilst we have become your awliya. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us husne khatima, grant us husne khatima, grant us husne khatima, grant us a good departure with your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from bad and evil death. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us whilst
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is emanating from our lips. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Grant us our book of deeds in our right hand. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make Pul Sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah without any hisab and reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us refuge from your displeasure. Grant us refuge from your disobedience. Grant us refuge from your anger. Grant us refuge from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to acquire ilm and implement that ilm in our lives. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all acceptance. Grant us all barakat. Grant us all khair. Grant us all hidayah. Grant us all good health. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all rizq and sustenance with barakah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from every evil of this world and the hereafter, and grant us every good of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our gathering, accept our conference, accept our humble efforts, accept our feeble efforts. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are not doing enough for the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to strive the way you desire us to strive. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to adorn ourselves with the akhlaq taught by your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our tongues with your dhikr. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our tongues with the recitation of the Quran. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our tongues with engaging in dua. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the good which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the brothers and sisters who have requested us to make dua for them, O Arhamur Rahimeen, or who wished us to make dua for them but were unable to convey their message to us, O Allah, fulfill all their lawful desires of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all those who are sick, grant them shifa, grant them complete shifa. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them afiyah, grant them safety. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant maghfirah to all those who are alive and all those who are deceased. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warhamhu anta khairur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin. والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.